What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
In Ecuador, where the Andes begin to break away and open up toward the Amazon, a great volcano stands guardian. At its base is a city, sometimes called the Gateway to El Dorado, that is home to a host of mysteries and legends. This small pocket of civilization offers travelers a moment of respite on their journeys. It's known for goblins, lost treasures, and healing waters blessed by saints, the Virgin Mary, and pagan gods alike, and it is a place like none other. I want to show you the incredible and mysterious locations that have existed here in lore for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. So come with me and discover the mysteries of Baños de Agua Santa, a truly magical place unlike any other. For the past 8 years or so, I've been living part-time in South America, and for some reason, I never really thought to record my journeys until last month. It's honestly kind of a shame, thinking back on all the adventures that I missed out on sharing with the world, because there were actually some pretty diabolical ones. Like the time that our car broke down on the way to the very place that I'm going to show you in this episode, and a strange little man on a motorcycle with a World War II Nazi helmet with a gigantic red swastika painted on it, put my then girlfriend on the back of his bike, and together they rode off for help, presumably by some mechanic that was nestled somewhere in the Andes. She was the only one who could speak Spanish, you see, so she's the one who had to go for help, I guess. Or the time that an ignorant gringo, myself, summited a volcano on foot that was better suited for horseback. So as I watched mule and horse carry locals to the top and back again, I struggled for hours walking. Still one of the hardest things I've ever done. But I guess when it comes to starting new things, as they say, there's never been a time like the present. Ecuador is a place of wonder and of mystery and of countless legends. It's a land of danger and risk and of caution. It's a place of great beauty and suspense and surprises. And it's a land of many biomes, including two of my favorite, the Andes and the Amazon. This trip, I would be visiting both for the purpose of documenting something that people in the rest of the world maybe haven't seen before, at least not with their own eyes. I wanted to tell stories that have been heard by very few and show sights that are rarely witnessed in the first world, firsthand at least. And I wanted to start with a place that I had been many times before, but again, for some reason, never thought to pick up my camera and document. Honestly, I just think it's because filmmaking, documenting, all that kind of stuff, it wasn't really my priority until relatively recently in the grand scale of my life. And I was just living in the moment back then. And I guess I'm kind of proud of that. It enabled me to experience it differently than if it was entirely through a camera lens. But now it's time for a new chapter. So we're on our way. The journey has begun. It's about a day's trip from Chicago to Quito, and from there another 5 or so hours to our destination. Quito is the capital of Ecuador. Baños de Agua Santa is where we will be going, and Baños does not feel as though it was built in an ordinary place. It feels as though it was sort of permitted to exist there. And even when you're on your journey there, for me, this journey has always felt like more of a pilgrimage than just a regular road trip. And maybe that's because of who I am. Maybe that's because of special memories that I have of the place, experiences, familiarities that I long for. Who knows? But the trip there is magical in of itself. And the town lies in a narrow valley where the Andes begin to break apart and descend toward the Amazon. Mountains rise on every side. They are green and impossibly steep. Their upper slopes disappear into cloud. Rivers move through black ravines far, far below, and waterfalls spill from the cliffs as though the mountains themselves are overflowing. And above the town of Baños de Agua Santa stands Tungurahua. The volcano rises more than 5,000 meters into the sky, though much of the time its summit is hidden behind mist and cloud. Its name is usually translated as Throat of Fire, and from the streets of Baños, that name doesn't exactly feel exaggerated. Even when the mountain is quiet, it's difficult to forget what is beneath it and how powerful it is. The water bubbling from the ground is warm because the earth below is still alive. It is like a beating heart warms the water that bubbles to the surface. And this is the strange bargain at the heart of Baños. The same volcanic force capable of covering the valley in ash also heats the springs that have drawn people there for centuries. The same mountains that isolate the town create the waterfalls that made it famous in the first place. The same rivers that threaten to flood the valley carve passages through the jungle and carry travelers east toward the Amazon. Indeed, this place, one of its nicknames, is the gateway to El Dorado.
This is like a community kitchen. Somebody has a pot of beans here. Some ingredients on the wall. Somebody left some quail eggs, it looks like. We've been coming to this hotel for many years. And it's just enough. You don't need anything more. It's kind of nestled back in the jungle. This is like the courtyard, I guess you would call it. It's that way to the rooms, and this way to the rest.
Danger and beauty do not exist separately in Baños de Agua Santa. They come from the same source. Baños sits between worlds, you could say. Behind it are the cold heights of the Andes. Ahead of it, the road sort of drops toward the tropical forests of the east. And the town is neither fully mountain nor fully jungle. It stands on a sort of threshold, like a settlement that was built at the edge of two kingdoms. And perhaps this is why so many legends have gathered there over time. Before the Spanish arrived, indigenous people already knew the valley and its waters. The region was connected to the Puruac, the Panzaleo, and the Quichua communities, who moved between the highlands and the eastern forests. Old accounts describe hot and cold springs near a waterfall, waters that could be mixed for bathing. One expression connected the springs directly to Mama Tungurahua. To bathe there was not simply to enter warm water. It was to bathe in spiritual water that came from the mountain herself. In the older imagination of the Andes, mountains were not simply lifeless rocks, lifeless objects on the horizon. They had identities and tempers and relationships. Tungurahua was understood as female, a powerful maternal presence often called Mama Tungurahua. And she could be generous. She could also be extremely violent and deadly. Some legends describe her as the companion of the great Chimborazo, an enormous mountain visible far to the west. And the volcanoes were said to love, quarrel, and wage war. Their broken peaks, eruptions, and scars all became the remains of conflicts that were, and are, simply too ancient and too large for human memory. When Tungurahua covered herself with clouds, people said that she was hiding her face, and when she erupted, she was speaking. Geologists tell the story differently, of course, but their version is hardly less dramatic. The mountain, visible today, is not the first Tungurahua. Earlier volcanoes rose in the same place and partially collapsed. The present cone was built upon those ancient volcanic remains, layer after layer, through eruptions of lava, ash, and burning debris. In other words, the mountain is standing upon the bodies of its former selves. Baños lives beneath this volcanic graveyard. In 1999, Tungurahua awakened strongly enough that the entire town was forced to be evacuated. The streets completely emptied, all businesses closed, homes and churches stood abandoned, while ash rose above the valley in a deadly plume. And the people of Baños were ordered to leave behind the town their families had built beneath the volcano. But they did return. And that might be the most important thing to understand about Baños. The people did not rebuild somewhere safer. They returned to the same sacred valley, beneath the same spiritual mother mountain, and beside the same healing waters that flowed forth from her. It was not the first time the town had been tested, either. Earthquakes had damaged it. Eruptions had darkened its skies before. Landslides and floods had cut through the surrounding country time and time again. And yet, Baños remained. The town seems to exist not because the land is peaceful and beautiful and special, but because the people have learned to live beside powers that they cannot control. And it is now a part of them. It is a part of their social identity. And Tungurahua is not the only presence believed to watch over the valley. According to Catholic tradition, in the early days of the settlement, a sacristan saw the Virgin Mary leave a small chapel accompanied by angels. She descended toward a waterfall near the hot springs and appeared beside the water. The vision was said to have occurred more than once. When the local priest and townspeople prayed for an explanation, the Virgin reportedly asked that a church be built near the waterfall. She promised that the sick who entered the water with faith would receive healing. The story gave Baños its full name, Baños de Agua Santa, the baths of holy water. But the legend did not end there. When the people attempted to move the original image of the Virgin into the new sanctuary, the statue itself vanished. Later, a mule appeared in the town square carrying a sealed wooden box. No rider accompanied it. No owner came forth to retrieve it. The animal had seemingly come here all on its own. After the box remained unclaimed, the priest opened it before witnesses, and inside was another statue of the Virgin Mary. That image became the Virgin of Agua Santa, the spiritual guardian of Baños. Whether one sees the story as miracle, folklore, or something in between, it shaped the identity of the town. The volcano, the springs, the waterfall, and the Virgin became parts of the same sacred landscape. The basilica at the center of Banyos was later built from dark volcanic stone, and its walls were formed from material taken from the very earth that threatens the town. Inside are paintings showing miracles attributed to the Virgin, people rescued from accidents, floods, eruptions, and sudden death. These are not simply distant biblical scenes from another continent. They're all local stories. They show familiar roads and mountains and scenery and vehicles and rivers and cliffs. They turn the dangers of Banyos into religious testimony. The message is rather difficult to miss, you have to admit. The valley is dangerous, but it's not abandoned by the spirits, the religious entities, the spiritual gods and goddesses that have always existed in this place. Even the names of the surrounding waterfalls sound as though they belong to an old fantasy rather than a modern map or list of names. There is the Cabellera de la Virgen, the hair of the Virgin, falling beside the town in long white streams. There's the Manto de la Novia.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
The Bride's Veil. There is El Fantasma, the ghost. And then farther down the road is El Pailon del Diablo, the devil's cauldron, which is coincidentally where I proposed to my wife. There, an enormous waterfall crashes into a abysmally dark gorge with enough force to shake the entire environment. Mist fills the canyon, immediately soaking anybody who would come to bear witness. The stone is wet and black. Stairways and narrow paths descend toward the water until it feels as though the traveler is literally being led beneath the earth. The place is beautiful, but not in a gentle way. It is dangerous. It is the kind of beauty that makes a person feel incredibly small and should humble them. This is what separates Banyos from an ordinary mountain town. Its landscape seems to have divided itself into symbols. It appears to allow people to live there. The Virgin has her waterfall. The devil has his cauldron. Mama Tungaragua sleeps above them both. Pilgrims gather in a church built from volcanic stone while travelers enter pools warmed by magma, hoping for healing. Everything feels connected. Fire rises through water. Catholic legends settle over indigenous beliefs. Scientific explanations exist simultaneously beside stories of living mountains, goblins, and spirits. The road toward the Amazon begins beneath a volcano whose name literally means throat of fire. And yet Banyos is also just an ordinary town. People sell fruit and candy and trinkets. Buses and taxis pass through the streets. Music escapes from restaurants. Children walk beneath the same mountain that once forced their grandparents to flee. And your occasional traveler and local will even wash their clothes in the sacred waters.
That's not how it works. Oh, yeah. Are you asking everybody, like, when you go in the world anywhere and take a picture, you don't ask who is in your picture.
No, not if it's not, but the pictures
are
left.
So? Not what's the difference?
It's a little bit different.
Why?
I don't know.
I wanna know why.
But I don't know why.
Perhaps that is what makes this place feel so strange. the extraordinary has become part of daily life. At night, the mountains disappear. The valley, it becomes this sort of dark enclosure with walls hidden beyond the lights of the town. You feel very enclosed in this place, as if you are in the hands of the earth itself. And at any time, they could flood those hands with water or lava. Somewhere in the distance, water continues falling through the forest. The basilica stands quietly in the center, and steam rises from the healing pools. Above the clouds, Tungurahua remains unseen. It's easy, in a place such as this, to understand how legends begin. It's easy to look up at the mountains and the volcanoes and believe that they are not merely mountains and volcanoes. They are living entities that have perhaps been forgotten for what they really are. That the waterfalls are carrying messages that are no longer received or accepted. They are sort of ignored or unheard, but the springs are bringing something ancient to the surface that nobody truly understands or is unwilling to be superstitious enough to believe in. That the town was built in the narrow space between protection and destruction, watched over by a mother of fire and a woman said to have appeared beside holy water. And yet these stories have taken place in people's minds as simply that. Stories with no real backing behind it. But Banyas does not feel like a place where nature has been tamed. It feels like a place where humanity has been allowed to stay. And yet, they forget that. So they continue to forge lives and get as much out of the land as they possibly can, forgetting the volcano that bides its time and the mother that made the water flowing forth from the earth's guts holy. They grow reluctant to focus too much on the spirituality, even though its symbols are visible everywhere in the town, from the goblins sold on street corners to the graffiti on the walls to the paintings in the Black Basilica. It is truly a place that inspires deep reflection on how complacent humans can actually grow, even when surrounded by great power and spirituality and legend. If you're wondering what little creature you're seeing being fried to a crisp here, this is everybody's favorite little rodent pet, the guinea pig. You see, in Ecuador, it's a bit of a delicacy. I've tried it. I don't want to be stereotypical, but it does actually taste like chicken, and except a little bit better, actually. It's pretty delicious, and people are eager to eat it here because it is so good. So I guess I would actually describe it as more of like half chicken, half pork. That's kind of how it is, how it tastes, the texture, and all that kind of stuff. And on your way to Banyos, people will literally attempt to flag you down so that they can feed you this delicacy. And when you stop, you'll often find just a little house or a little shack or stand, and sometimes you'll even see the living cousins of those being cooked just running around in the backyard or in their enclosures or whatever, awaiting their fate. First worlders will be quick to label this barbarism or something, but I mean, what's better, eating an animal that's been provided for sustenance or just selling it at Petco and keeping it in a glass box for its entire life? It's actually quite fascinating how many different foods I've eaten in Ecuador, and I've never once been sick. I've drank everything from snake liquor to the water. I've eaten everything from the ants to the grubs found in the Amazon to guinea pigs to all the other animals and all the other parts of all the other animals, and basically anything that anyone in that country has ever put on a plate before me and called food, I've eaten. And I've never as much as gotten a dose of diarrhea, and I have yet to throw up in South America. But meanwhile, Before I even got home from this particular trip, I had to stop over in Miami. I had a layover where I picked up what's come to be known as the lettuce parasite, the cyclospora that's been destroying people throughout the United States and single-handedly raising the stock of toilet paper. Out of all the places in the world that I've been, the U.S. is quite literally the only place that has ever poisoned me. And it's funny that the government of the U.S. is also the one that tells me not to eat or drink anything in these places because I could die. The food is just better in Ecuador. It's natural. It's from the land. It's not doctored or experimented on or poisoned before it reaches your plate. Ironically, that's what makes first worlders so afraid of it, though. A chicken here will lay an egg that morning and it's delivered to your mouth by lunchtime. Vegetables last longer, taste better, have more vitamins and nutrients in them. Meat is butchered nearby and it's eaten promptly, and if a fly touches it, oh well. The fish is mind-blowing, and even the bugs taste better than any of these unique dishes of the five-star restaurants that I've eaten at in Chicago.
Wouldn't it be a bad idea to eat here one of these places too?
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though I had been to the Healing Waters many times before, no visit to this sacred place is complete without renewing the vigor that these waters bring, even if it's only a spiritual or a mental vigor. So we made the journey to the far edge of town, where miracles had occurred, where the Virgin Mary had been witnessed, and where Mother Tungurahua had bled out her life and continues to do so. After all, you don't journey all the way out here to a location such as this just to not stand before the wondrous natural phenomenon that made this place so well known. If you're wondering what that building is, you're not alone, because it is one of the most striking buildings in Baños, and for the past like 8 years, it's been mostly abandoned and going through states of renovation and whatnot, but this time upon visiting, we found that it was sort of a strip club slash burlesque style restaurant, I guess, where you can go and get your picture taken while you eat with busty Ecuadorian jungle ladies, the more you know. You might find that the Cascada de la Virgin, also called the Caballera de la Virgin, is unusual because it doesn't wait beyond some distant jungle trail. It did at one point, but it no longer does. It descends from the mountainside directly at the edge of Baños, spilling across dark volcanic rock above the thermal baths and various shops that have established themselves below to take advantage of the tourists that come here. Stone steps and narrow platforms climb beside the water, while images of the Virgin have been placed among the rock, the moss, and the vegetation. Catholic tradition connects the waterfall and its spring to Nuestra Señora del Rosario de Agua Santa, whose veneration becomes inseparable from the identity of the town. The streets are still around you at first. There are tiled roofs, passing taxis, little restaurants and vendors stretching ropes across wooden hooks, but above everything rises the immense green wall of the valley. The mountains do not appear distant here. They lean over the buildings oppressively. They are heavy with vegetation, rain, and mist, as though the wilderness is slowly closing its hand around the neck of the town. Water descends in long white strands over a nearly black cliff, dividing and joining again as it strikes the uneven volcanic rock. From a distance, it resembles a veil. Closer, it seems more like hair, which is why the cascade is sometimes called the Virgin's Hair, Green vines cling to the cliffside, ferns emerge from cracks in the stone, and moss covers the walls and steps so completely that the man-made structures seem to be surrendering themselves back to the mountain. The climb takes you upward beside the falling water. The staircase is narrow and steep, and people often fall. It's bordered by rustic railings and extremely wet and slippery stone. Tiny droplets drift through the air and collect on your face and camera lens and soak everything you have. The roar of the cascade begins to drown out conversation. The town remains only a short distance behind you, and yet it already feels strangely remote. You truly do feel like you are separated somehow from the rest of Banyos. Along the way, religious images appear within the landscape. The Virgin is not presented inside some distant marble cathedral here, protected from the elements. She's actually placed directly into the mountainside, surrounded by running water and living vegetation. The effect is both primitive and intimate. It feels less like visiting a monument and more like approaching one of those old sacred places that existed before anyone thought to build walls around the divine. Long before Banyos became a city of hotels, travelers, and glowing thermal pools, it was a small settlement pressed between the jungle and the restless mountain. The people lived beneath Tungaragua, where the earth trembled, hot water rose through cracks in the stone, and mist frequently erased the world beyond the nearest house. In those days, a modest chapel stood above a spring descending from the mountainside, and inside it was a small statue of the Virgin Mary. According to the oldest local tradition, the church sacristan awoke one night and saw something moving inside the chapel. The statue was no longer standing upon its altar. It was suspended in the air, and beside it were two beautiful young men whom the sacristan believed to be angels. The three figures moved silently out of the chapel and descended toward the water. At the foot of the mountain, where the spring poured over the black rock, the Virgin lowered herself until her feet rested beside the stream. And then, she disappeared. The sacristan told the priest, but the story seemed impossible. Perhaps he had dreamed it. Perhaps the darkness and the sound of the falling water had deceived him. But the apparition reportedly happened again. Each time the Virgin left the chapel and returned to the same place beneath the cascade. Finally, the priest and the people gathered inside the chapel and prayed for an explanation, and that night, the Virgin appeared to the priest. She told him that she did not want her sanctuary to remain above the water. She wanted a chapel built below, beside the spring that she had chosen. She promised that those who entered the water with genuine faith would receive healing, including people suffering from diseases that the rest of society feared to touch.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips, and being that I'm going to be Passenger Princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
The villagers obeyed, and stone was carried down the mountain. A new sanctuary was constructed near the falling water. But when the day arrived to move the Virgin into her new home, the people entered the old chapel and found the altar empty. The statue had vanished. Days passed, and no one could explain where it had gone. But then, without warning, a solitary mule walked into the central plaza of Banyos. It carried a sealed wooden box upon its back. No rider accompanied it, no merchant followed behind, and no one in town recognized the animal, so no one came forward to claim its mysterious cargo. The box was taken to the priest. He waited, believing its owner would eventually arrive, but weeks passed, and in some tellings, months, but still nobody appeared. At last, the priest gathered the townspeople as witnesses, and he opened the box before them. Inside was an image of the Virgin Mary. It was not the small statue that had disappeared. This virgin was larger, she was more beautiful, and possessed a solemn expression that seemed both maternal and commanding. And the people believed that she had returned to them in the form that she had chosen for herself. From that moment, she became known as Nuestra Señora del Rosario de Agua Santa, Our Lady of the Rosary of Holy Water. The cascade became her veil, or in another interpretation, her flowing hair. Travelers and mule drivers later told stories of an angel appearing near the waterfall to strengthen exhausted people as they crossed the dangerous mountain routes. That is why the waterfall feels like more than scenery to the people of Baños. The legend doesn't merely claim that the Virgin appeared there and then disappeared. It claims that she chose this place for a specific reason. She abandoned the safety of the altar for the wild edge of the mountain. She placed herself between the volcano and the town like a guardian, beside water falling from above and thermal water rising from the depths below. And perhaps that is the image at the heart of the legend. A silent figure standing beneath the cascade while the mountain breathes behind her like some great beast. She's guarding a town that has always lived one eruption away from disappearance. The townspeople then dug shallow pools and guided the naturally hot water into them through simple channels. Because the spring water could be extremely hot, they mixed it with colder water from the cascade until it became tolerable. These, at the time, were not recreational swimming pools in the modern sense. They were just crude medicinal baths, part washing place, part healing station, and part sacred site, coincidentally. Gradually, these pools grew in size, and a much larger adjoining complex was begun in 2015 and opened in October 2017. That expansion added 10 thermal pools, a wave pool, and even recreational areas. It shouldn't be confused with the original baths immediately below the cascade, although both now form part of the wider Termas de la Virgen attraction. The older balneario has several contained pools at different temperatures, including hot, temperate, and cold water. Provincial tourism information places the hottest pools at approximately 108 degrees Fahrenheit, or 42 degrees Celsius. The thermal water is described as sulfatada, meaning it contains dissolved sulfate minerals gathered while circulating through heated rock underground. The mineral content can give the water an earthy, cloudy, greenish, or brown appearance. That color is frequently mistaken for dirt, but it's largely associated with suspended and dissolved mineral material. The water can also carry a faint sulfurous or metallic smell. So the place is essentially a carefully managed intersection of opposites. Above, cold, clear mountain water falling from the cliff, and below, the hot, dark mineral water rising from the volcanic earth. And this contrast is part of the traditional bathing practice here. People move from the hot pools into cold water or beneath a cold shower, and then they return to the heat. This bathing practice is often referred to as hydrotherapy. Bathing there, over time, became a physical act of prayer. The water was simultaneously understood as volcanic, medicinal, and Marian. One could enter it seeking relief from pain, but also forgiveness, protection, or divine intervention. And this pool was not sacred merely because a priest blessed it. It was because Mary herself selected the spring. The tribes that predate the arrival of Christianity have other stories, of course. One surviving legend says that Cotopaxi and Chimborazo fought for the love of Mama Tungaragua. Chimborazo prevailed and took her as his wife. From their union came Guagua Pichincha. When the young volcano cries or becomes restless, his mother responds with smoke, tremors, and fire. In Shuar spirituality, a waterfall is called a tuna. It is a place where the force known as Arutam may reveal itself and where the power of Sunki, the being associated with water, becomes present. Young people traditionally journeyed to waterfalls under ritual guidance, fasting and using sacred plants while seeking a vision that could give courage, identity, protection, and spiritual power. What occurred during the encounter was often kept secret. Baños stood on the passage between the Andes and the Amazon. The historical record says indigenous people from the Oriente were present alongside Peruja and Panzaleo groups. But the waterfall was not just a place where one went to pray. It was where something might actually answer you. The noise of the falling water concealed ordinary sound. The mist altered perception. The fasting weakened the boundary between waking and dreaming. A figure seen through the cascade might not have been called Mary. It might have been understood as an ancestor, a warning, a water being, or the arrival of Arutam himself. I may have journeyed all the way here to this magical, mystical place, but I was by no means fasting. So imagine my joy at seeing that at the base of the cascade, a vendor was selling some deliciously scrumptious-looking fat wriggly grubs about the size of a human finger, and that she would even grill them to perfection for a dollar. These grubs are known as chanta curo. This comes from Quechua, where chanta means palm and curo means larva, grub, or worm, and they're considered a delicacy that's nutritious, delicious, and very well loved by locals in Ecuador's Amazon. In appearance, obviously, they're very similar to caterpillars, but they're much larger and oilier, and they've got sort of a yellowish body and a dark brown head. And in Ecuador, Amazonian indigenous communities use the oil from these larvae to treat respiratory issues like colds, coughs, and bronchitis, as well as menstrual cramps, believe it or not. Some people say that it even helps with conditions like diabetes and high cholesterol, and is considered a natural purgative. I highly encourage everybody to try one, at least once.
Yeah, I'll pull it out. I feel good.
Sunki represents the intelligence and power belonging to rivers, rain, and the aquatic world. In this cosmology, water is not just an object that is owned or controlled by humans. It has an owner of its own. By drawing near, you aren't simply entering a beautiful location. You're entering another being's territory. And such places could offer healing and knowledge, but they could also be extremely dangerous. Near the base of the cascade is another peculiar attraction, though it is not treated as an attraction per se. Cold water is diverted from the natural mountain spring into a simple fountain where people can drink directly from the flow, and this is often where people say Mary was actually witnessed so many years ago. You can drink directly from the mountain without paying any fee, or you can buy a bottle or a gallon jug for a few coins, should a sip or splash on your body not be enough. The source descends from Cerro Bellavista, emerging through the wet volcanic landscape before becoming part of the crystalline water system associated with the waterfall, and this is separate from the dark, hot, sulfate-rich water used in the thermal pools below. The taste is clean, it's cold, and noticeably different from processed drinking water. There may be a faint mineral character, almost like wet stone, but none of the warmth, sediment, or sulfurous odor associated with the volcanic baths. It feels less like bottled mineral water and more like drinking directly from the interior of the mountain. It's very refreshing. And locals don't treat the fountain as any ordinary drinking water either. It's commonly referred to as agua milagrosa, miraculous water. People drink it, they wash their faces with it, and they even take it home for relatives who are sick, elderly, or unable to make the pilgrimage themselves. During the annual Caminata de la Fe, the area becomes crowded with pilgrims who come specifically to drink the water and stand beneath the cascade and collect it in containers. Many people believe that it can relieve physical illness. Others say that it's more like holy water, touching it to the forehead, blessing children with it, or keeping a bottle in the home as a form of protection. Baños has another very interesting legend that I couldn't help but notice more this time around, almost as if the place is changing due to ancient spiritual inhabitants and cryptids returning to the place. According to the provincial government of Tungaragua's collection of Baños traditions, residents have reported seeing Ruben around Runtun, the mountain sector overlooking Baños, and around Rio Verde, which is east of the city. Rio Verde even has a place traditionally called Encañonado del Duende, or Canyon of the Goblin. The surviving accounts don't really provide one definitive origin story for Ruben. He's less a literary character than a recurring local presence, sort of a name attached to something that people claim to glimpse around isolated mountain terrain. Old local accounts say volcanic activity rouses the duendes, or goblins, from distant hiding places, and they emerge from the wilderness around Yanganates and Sangay, and they follow cold, hidden paths toward Baños. The image is extraordinary when you think about it. While the volcano growls beneath the town, these small, spindly, creepy figures begin descending from the cloud forest as though the mountain's disturbance has somehow summoned them. And once they reach Baños, they're said to play with marbles made of gold. Some stories claim townspeople have watched the game happen from a distance, and others say a sufficiently bold resident managed to at one point steal a marble or a small gold nugget from these creatures before they disappeared. That detail kind of connects the duende or the goblin tradition to another great obsession surrounding Baños: the lost gold of Yanganates. The lost gold of Yanganates is Ecuador's most famous buried treasure legend. It's a supposedly enormous collection of Inca gold hidden in the mountains east of Baños after the Spanish executed Emperor Atahualpa.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
In November 1532, Francisco Pizarro and a small force of conquistadors captured Atahualpa at Cajamarca in present-day Peru. To secure his freedom, the emperor offered to fill his prison chamber with gold and provide a much greater quantity of silver. A surviving notarized record from June 1533 actually confirms that large quantities of precious metal were collected and divided among the Spaniards. Gold ornaments, ceremonial vessels, temple decorations, and religious objects were brought from across the Inca world. To the Incas, these objects carried dynastic and sacred meaning, but to the conquistadors, they were just metal of value. Much of the workmanship was destroyed when the objects were melted into transportable shares, of course. But despite receiving the ransom, the Spaniards still executed Atahualpa in 1533. It's widely regarded as the highest ransom ever paid for an individual in history. The Inca Emperor Atahualpa ended up paying $1.5 billion in gold and precious metal and gems to Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro and was still never released. According to Ecuadorian tradition, Atahualpa's general, Rumiñahui, was gathering another immense shipment of gold in the northern provinces of the empire. A caravan of soldiers, porters, and pack animals was supposedly already moving towards Cajamarca when news arrived that Atahualpa had been killed. So naturally, Rumiñahui then ordered the caravan to turn away from the Spanish. Instead of surrendering the remaining treasure, he is said to have carried it east into the Yanganates, an immense region of cloud forest, wetlands, ravines, and steep mountains lying between the central Andes and the Amazonian lowlands. Some versions say the gold was sealed inside a cave, while others say it was buried beneath a mountain. Some say it was thrown into a deep lake or scattered through several concealed chambers. Rumiñahui was later captured and tortured by the Spanish, but he never revealed the treasure's location. And from that silence emerged the central legend. Somewhere inside the Yanganates remained the portion of Atahualpa's ransom that the conquistadors never received. To the uninformed, Baños looks like just another town in the Andes, just another gateway to the Amazon jungle. To locals, just another tourist trap. The legends that made it have long been buried beneath the concrete and the modern expansions of those that would make this their stomping ground. A place to make money, to take advantage of travelers, and to attempt a living in some distant location that sits somewhere between proper civilization and the wilds. Indeed, the first few times that I came here, I didn't even know some of these stories. It wasn't until I started paying attention and asking questions about the true origins of this place, the real stories hidden behind the seemingly random tour guide pamphlets, that I actually began to realize that there is more here than meets the eye, as is true of so many locations in Ecuador and the rest of South America. And who knows if Tungurahua will ever reclaim her landscape, ridding once and for all this place of mankind. Who can say if the goblins, the duende, will return to dance and play with their gold in the streets that once children ran? Perhaps the Virgin Mary will hold the ancient ones at bay one more time. Who can say for certain if the lost gold of the Yanganates will ever be discovered, or if indeed it is still there to be discovered at all? I guess the way these questions consume me is why I continue to be haunted by the wonders of Baños de Agua Santa, and why I will never stop returning to this mystical place.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.